Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, so you've sent us something pretty daunting this time. It's a massive analysis from the Taking Game 2026 Definitive Gaming Forecast. And this is not just a list, it's more like a strategic roadmap for what they're calling, and this is a quote, potentially the most impactful year in gaming history.
It's a bold claim, but when you look at the lineup, you start to get it. The sources are suggesting 2026 is a year we'll be talking about for, I mean, for decades. And the challenge is different this time. Normally, it's, how do I find the time to play all these games? But for you, the listener, it's actually way more complex. It's choosing what matters and honestly navigating the financial side of it.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive, is to distill this whole report down into, the essential knowledge. We need to find what Taking Game calls the industry shifters,
The big ones.
the really big ones,
Yeah.
the games that actually redefine what we expect. And then, crucially, we need to pull out the strategy for your time and, your budget. Because this is a serious spending spree if you're not careful.
It really is. I mean, we usually get one or two huge games a year, but 2026 is just stacked with titles the source calls cultural resets.
Cultural resets, that's a huge term.
It is, and that's really where we have to start.
Okay, let's do it. Let's unpack that idea. Let's talk about the title so big its release is supposed to, well, shift culture itself. So the consensus pick, the absolute giant in the room, has to be Grand Theft Auto The Twelve. I mean, just the fact that it's been over a decade since GTAV, that sets an impossibly high bar.
The expectation is, yeah, it's impossible. But the Taking Game analysis suggests Rockstar is aiming for something much bigger than just a hit game. The forecast is adamant this will be a cultural reset. And the reason why is that it's taking us back to a modern Vice City, so Florida, and it's putting this huge emphasis on deep world simulation.
I remember some of the early chatter about the main characters. What's the dynamic that Taking Game is really focusing on for the story?
They're focused on the duo, Lucia and Jason. The sources are all pointing to this modern Bonnie and Clyde setup, but they're navigating a Vice City that is just obsessed with social media, with fame, with this overwhelming excess. And that's the cultural reset part. It's aiming to be this sharp, really current satire and a crime sandbox at the same time.
Social commentary wrapped in this massive reactive world. You mentioned the technical side, the emerging gameplay. Can you break that down? It sounds a little like jargon.
It's actually the opposite of set dressing. So in older open world games, the NPCs, the crowds, they just had these simple little loops.
We're all disappear.
Exactly. The promise here, according to the sources, is that NPCs will have these incredibly distinct, traceable routines. They live simulated lives, and that allows for emergent gameplay.
So unscripted moments.
Totally unscripted. It means you can manipulate the world and its physics in ways that lead to these organic situations that are unique to your playthrough. It's supposed to completely redefine what a next-gen world feels like.
Okay, that definitely raises the bar. But let's shift gears to horror. Capcom has been on an absolute golden run with the Resident Evil remakes.
They have.
And the next mainline game is expected to be Resident Evil Requiem.
This is a huge test for them. The question isn't, will it be good? It's more, can it satisfy two completely different fan bases?
What do you mean?
Well, the analysis says they're explicitly trying to blend that crushing claustrophobic tension of the old school survival horror games,
Limited ammo, tough enemies.
all that, but they're blending it with the polished high octane action and the over-the-shoulder camera we've gotten used to in the remakes.
Wait, hold on. Can those two things even coexist? I mean, doesn't more action just, kill the tension?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Taking Game thinks the key is the psychological tone. The rumors suggest this entry goes incredibly dark and aims to wrap up several really old story arcs. And that narrative closure, that's the hook for the longtime fans. It justifies the pressure. So it's less about jump scares and more about this sustained dread and just the weight of the story.
That makes sense. Okay, so speaking of defining a generation, this all feeds directly into the console battleground.
Of course.
Let's start with PlayStation. And the one that feels like a very deliberate choice is Insomniac's Marvel's Wolverine for the PS5.
This is absolutely Sony's answer to anyone who says their big superhero games are maybe getting a little too safe, a little too family friendly.
After the success of Spider-Man,
Exactly. The forecast confirms Wolverine is being built from the ground up as a mature, really gritty experience.
And the details are what sell it. We're talking adamantium claws, visceral combat, a focus on actual dismemberment and blood. Why the huge pivot for Insomniac?
Differentiation. They're leaning hard into Logan's trauma, his rage, and the structure is key. It's a semi-open linear design.
So not a full open world.
Right. It's not a huge city like New York. It gives you these smaller, dense areas to explore, but it keeps the narrative really tight so the story doesn't get lost in, 200 side quests. It's just precision action built around his brutality.
Okay, that frames it perfectly.
Yeah.
And then right alongside that brutality, you have the completely bizarre and beautiful
Death Stranding 2. On the beach,
yes,
you hear Hideo Kojima's name, and two things. One,
yeah,
photorealistic visuals that will push the PS5 to its absolute limit, and two, mechanics that make zero sense until suddenly they make perfect sense.
And the Hollywood cast is back. Norman Reedus, Elle Fanning.
Yeah, that just confirms this is a blockbuster. It's built on those weird mechanics and that emotionally complex, often very confusing storytelling. It's the artsy technical marvel to balance the gritty superhero power fantasy.
So those are Sony's big plays. How is the Xbox counterattack shaping up? The sources say they're leaning heavily into nostalgia.
They are, and it's a very smart strategic move. They're filling gaps in their lineup. Gears of War, E-Day is a huge one.
Because it's a prequel.
Right? A prequel set on the very first day the Locust emerged. So by stripping away all the later sci-fi tech, they're pivoting the series back to its roots. Raw survival horror and that core brotherhood dynamic.
And it's meant to be an Unreal Engine 5 showpiece. What does that actually mean for me as a player?
It means environmental destruction becomes a core part of gameplay, not just a pretty backdrop. We are talking about industry-leading physics and lighting.
So environments crumbling around you in a fight.
In ways we've really only seen in tech demos. It's Microsoft flexing its technical power with a beloved franchise.
And then, on the complete other end of that spectrum, there's the whimsical RPG a lot of people have been waiting for. Fable.
Fable is so critical for Xbox. It's a full reboot from Playground Games. And we know from Forza Horizon that they can build stunningly beautiful open worlds.
Yeah, they're masters at that.
And the promise here is to keep that very specific British humor and the classic good versus evil moral choice system all inside this gorgeous fantasy setting. It fills that huge hole they've had for a flagship whimsical RPG.
So if you connect the dots.
Yeah. Wolverine gives Sony the mature grit it was missing. Fable gives Microsoft the lighthearted whimsy it needed. 2026 is being defined by these really calculated exclusive counterattacks aimed right at the other platform's perceived weaknesses.
Right. Let's shift away from exclusives and look at the games pushing boundaries on technology and genre, regardless of platform. First up, Crimson Desert. This one sounds almost too ambitious.
It does. It's an open-world action RPG that's trying to take world simulation to a whole new level. The forecast keeps highlighting its next-gen physics engine.
What does it mean in practice?
I mean, we're talking about the ability to physically wrestle with NPCs, to climb giant monsters in real time, and to interact with pretty much everything in the environment.
So if past RPGs gave us these beautiful worlds to just look at, how is Crimson Desert different?
Past games were often like a series of beautiful paintings you could walk through. This game promises a massive simulation where the systems run deeper than the quest log, the physics, the weather, the environment. It all actually feeds back into how you play. It's about meaningful interaction, not just walking through it.
And from deep simulation, we go to pure speed and style. Phantom Blade Zero. I love this description they're using. Kung Fu Punk.
It's so good, right? It grabs you immediately. It's mixing the dark, punishing atmosphere of a Souls-like game with the lightning-fast combos and flair of something like Devil May Cry.
So it's difficult, but also incredibly fast.
Exactly. And the thing the developers keep highlighting is the animation. Their trailers show this impossibly fluid combat that looks pre-rendered, but they swear it is all real-time gameplay.
Wow.
And that's a massive technical leap to get those super-fast, visually complex martial arts combos to run without feeling laggy or unresponsive.
The trend here seems pretty clear. We're moving beyond just better graphics. The demand is for, what, higher fidelity world simulation and faster, more complex combat systems that still feel good to play.
That's it, exactly.
Okay, let's move on to a segment for those who value a tight story and atmosphere over a 100-hour map. Two huge contenders here. Let's start with the return of an icon.
007 First Light, or Project 007 from IO Interactive. And this is just, it's the perfect studio for the job. They are the masters of intricate sandbox stealth from the Hitman series.
And they're tackling his origin story, how he became a 00.
Which is such a smart move.
I'm just hoping that means we get more high-stakes stealth and cool gadgets lean into the spy fantasy instead of just making him another third-person shooter guy.
That is exactly the promise. The sources say the levels will be these wide sandbox environments built for creative solutions, not just linear hallways. It's all designed to feel like high-stakes espionage.
Perfect. And then we have a really interesting narrative-driven game, Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra. This one's set in WWII Paris with Captain America and the Black Panther of that era, Azuri.
This is a tight, focused narrative experience built around a central conflict. You have two heroes, they're on the same side, but they start out with this deep mistrust of each other.
And there's a technical element here that stood out.
Oh, yeah. This is the one detail that the analysts at Ticking Game said really shocked them.
What was it?
The facial animation technology. The previews are apparently so good that the report calls it, and I'm quoting again, arguably the best we have ever seen in the medium.
That is a massive claim.
It is. But these narrative games aren't competing on scale, right? They're competing on fidelity, on emotional impact. And if the whole story is about the conflict between Cap and Black Panther, having facial tech that can actually sell that internal struggle, that makes all the difference.
They're aiming for the deepest emotional connection they can get.
Precisely.
Okay, this brings us to what might be the most crucial section for you, the listener. The actual application of all this and the budget.
Right. The reality check.
We've talked about almost a dozen huge games. If you try to buy every single one of these at launch, you are looking at a total cost that, conservatively, is over $600 US. I mean, that is just not sustainable for most people.
And this isn't a problem to solve. It's a strategic decision to make. Being smart about your buying strategy is now just as important as knowing what the games are. This is what Taking Game calls their battle plan for 2026.
Okay, so lay it out for us. How do you play smart and not spend $600?
Step one is to identify the forever games. GTA 6 is the perfect example. Because of its online component and sheer size, it's a game you will probably play for 4, maybe 5 years.
Good investment.
It's an investment in a long-term hobby, not just a game you finish in a weekend. That makes it a high-value day one purchase.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, what's next for immediate savings?
Second, leverage subscriptions. This is just non-negotiable if you're on Xbox or PC. Taking Game is clear. You should not buy Gears of War, E-Day, or Fable at full price.
Because they'll be on Game Pass day one.
Day one. And the analysis shows that just by using Game Pass for those two games, you instantly save over $140. That takes a huge bite out of the budget right away.
That is a massive saving. What about the story-driven games like the Bond and Marvel titles? The ones without multiplayer?
That's step three, the wait-for-sale tier. These linear narrative games like Marvel 1943 or 007 First Light have basically zero FOMO. There's no fear of missing out.
You don't need to be part of the conversation on day one.
Exactly. And its strategic patience really pays off here. If you wait just 4 months, you can often get these for 30 or 40% off.
Yeah.
And you get a fully patched, bug-free experience.
Strategic patience. I like that. Okay, and what's the final piece?
The final step is the hardware check. This is vital if you play on PC or you're thinking about upgrading a console. These really demanding games like Crimson Desert and GTA VI are going to be system hogs.
Right.
So if you're planning a GPU upgrade or something similar, the advice is to do it before the late 2026 rush. Demand for components will spike when these games drop and prices will go up. Planning ahead saves you money and, you know, make sure you can actually run the games.
So being smart about the release window and your subscriptions is really the key to surviving 2026 with your wallet intact.
Yeah, to wrap it all up, the scope of 2026 is just huge. We're seeing these massive leaps in open world immersion with GTA Z, deep simulation in Crimson Desert.
And then new heights for visceral combat with Wolverine and Phantom Blade Zero.
And these ambitious new goals for narrative tech in games like Marvel 1943. It's a huge year across the board.
It really feels like a year where the ambition of the games is driving the hardware, not the other way around. Ooh. These are the titles that will set the trends for years.
Which leaves us with a final kind of provocative thought for you to think about.
Okay.
Given that GTA Z is being positioned as a true cultural reset, a game that will probably dominate conversation and playtime for 5 years. Does an experience that massive truly leave enough room, enough cultural bandwidth for these amazing focused narrative masterpieces like Marvel 1943 to really shine?
Or do they risk just getting lost in the giant shadow of the forever game?
Exactly. Do they risk getting lost in that shadow?
That is a fascinating question about cultural bandwidth. What are you going to prioritize? The 5-year investment, the visceral action, or that deep focused story? Thank you for letting us deep dive into your sources today. Happy planning.